Melchizedek was king of Salem, who was the priest of God Most High. He met Abraham, who was returning from winning a battle over some kings. Melchizedek blessed him. Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of what's right. Also, king of Salem means king of peace. Melchizedek has no father or mother. He has no family line. His days have no beginning. His life has no end. He remains a priest forever. In this way, he is like the Son of God. Think how great Melchizedek was. Even our father Abraham gave him a tenth of what he had captured. Now lays down a rule for the sons of Levi to become priests. They must collect a tenth from the people. They must collect it from other Israelites. They must do this, even though all of them belong to the family line of Abraham. Melchizedek did not trace his family line from Levi, but he collected one-tenth from Abraham. Melchizedek blessed the one who had received the promises. With a doubt, the more important person blesses less important one. In one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in other cases, it is collected by the one who said to be living. Levi collects the tenth. But we might say that Levi paid the tenth through Abraham. That's because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in Abraham's body.
The law that was given to the people called for the priestly system. That system began with Levi. Suppose the priestly system could have made people perfect. Then why was there still a need for another priest to come? And why did he need to be like Melchizedek? Why wasn't he from Aaron's family line? A change of the priestly system requires a change of law. We are talking about a priest who is from a different tribe. No one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. It is clear that our Lord came from the family line of Judah. Moses says nothing about priests who were from the tribe of Judah. But suppose another priest like Melchizedek appears. Then what we have said is even more clear. He has not become a priest because of a rule about his family line. He has become a priest because of his powerful life. His life can never be destroyed.
That's different. That's NIV.
Scripture says, you are a priest forever, just like Melchizedek. The old rule is set aside. It was weak and useless. The law didn't make anything perfect. Now a better hope has been given to us. That hope brings us near to God. The change of priestly system was made with a promise. Others became priests without any promise. But Jesus became a priest with a promise. God said to him, the Lord has given his word and made a promise. He will not change his mind. He has said, you are a priest forever. Because God gave his word, Jesus makes certain the promise of a better covenant. There were many priests in Levi's family line. Death kept them from continuing in office. But Jesus lives forever. So he always holds the office of priest. People now come to God through him, and he is able to save them completely and for all time. Jesus lives forever. He prays for them. A high priest like that really meets our need. He is holy, pure, and without blame. He isn't like other people. He does not sin. He is lifted high above the heavens. He isn't like the other high priests. They need to offer sacrifices day after day. First, they bring offerings for their own sins. then they do it for the sins of the people. But Jesus gave one sacrifice for the sins of the people. He gave it once and for all time. He did it by offering himself. The law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but God's promise came after the law. By his promise, the Son was appointed. The Son has been made perfect forever.
That pretty much covers it, doesn't it?
Thanks, Sue. And thanks to everyone else who's game or done, like Ben, who did the birth with us, and and Yunshu and Athena, who ran the millionaire game with us. Now you might have noticed the name Melchizedek has popped up a few times already in Hebrews, and he features heavily in this chapter 7. And some are wondering, Mel who, okay? And why is he so important? And what does he have to do with Jesus being better, greater, and more superior? The strange thing about Melchizedek is he is only ever mentioned twice before in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Surprisingly, not even Abraham or Moses or David gets a whole chapter in Hebrews dedicated to them. But Melchizedek does. So who is Melchizedek? Now, we first hear about Melchizedek in Genesis 14, in a meeting with Abraham. The passage in Genesis is actually really, really short, and it seems kind of unimportant. So Melchizedek at first doesn't seem particularly special or significant. But in Genesis 14, we learn that Abraham was returning from a battle with some kings. He had to rescue his nephew Lot. Then a king of an ancient city called Salem comes out to meet out Abraham. It's Melchizedek. Now, just to point out, Salem in Hebrew means, it comes from the Hebrew word shalom, means peace, which kind of makes Melchizedek like the king of peace. And also, today, Jerusalem is Salem, and Jerusalem means the city of peace. But the other thing is, we also notice Melchizedek's name. It means king of righteousness. Now, Melchizedek wasn't just a king, but he was also a priest of God Most High. He served Abraham some bread and wine, and then he blessed Abraham. And then Abraham recognized that Melchizedek was greater than him, offered him a tithe, which is an offering that you give to priests or ministers and or places of worship to support their work. And you usually give about 10% of everything that you own. We don't know much more about Melchizedek. There's no mention of his mum or his dad or his wife or his kids. Now, the next time we hear about Melchizedek is in a psalm of King David. It's Psalm 110. Actually, this is the psalm that's most quoted in the New Testament, and you can see it a couple of times in this chapter. The psalm actually drops a big clue about Melchizedek and why he's so important, and more important than we first realized. Because in this psalm, King David writes about the future forever king that God promised him that's going to come from his family. And this king is going to bring God's rule and peace, ending sin and all injustice. And his kingship was going to be a priestly one, because it's like Melchizedek's. The promised forever king will be both a king and a high priest, like the king of Salem was. Now, I just want to mention, we kind of talked about this in the during the game just now, the millionaire game. Like, Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians in the early church. They were under extreme pressure to give up on Jesus. It was a dangerous time to follow Jesus, because you could be arrested, you could be thrown in jail, you could lose your home, you could even be killed. So these Jewish Christians were thinking, oh, look, it might be better, it might be safer to go back to the old way of life, to go back being Jewish. They were also really unsure if they were truly God's people, since they were now excluded from the old Jewish community and culture that they had grown up with all their entire life. This would have been really hard and painful. And they started to doubt and question their hope in Jesus and whether through Jesus they were really God's people. And last week, we heard some had just got lazy about growing in their faith. They just got lazy about listening to Jesus and loving and trusting him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind, wholeheartedly. So they were in danger of giving up and turning away from Jesus. They were tempted to dilute and water down and weaken who Jesus is and what he has done. They were in danger of an unbelieving heart. They were in danger of hardening their hearts, and they were in danger of falling away from Jesus. Now, the priesthood was really important to the Jews because they represented and acted as a go-between God and his people. They offered sacrifices to help fix the broken relationship between sinful people and God. But according to God's laws, the only way you could be part of the priesthood in Israel is if you were from the family of Aaron, okay, who is Moses' older brother. So not just anyone could be part of the priesthood in ancient Israel, you had to prove you were from the family of Aaron. So here is the dilemma for the Jewish Christians. How can Jesus claim to represent and act for them as their perfect high priest if he wasn't from the tribe of Levi that Aaron belongs to? So I just want to just show you a family tree. So just up here is just some names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's only four names. Now, Levi is one of the sons, okay? And you can see from Levi, Aaron and Moses come from the tribe of Levi. Now, from Jesus' genealogy, we know that Jesus doesn't come from the family of, from the tribe of Levi. He comes from the tribe of Judah, okay? So, yeah, so how can Jesus claim to be a priest if he comes from the tribe of Judah? And he also comes from the family of David, not from the family of Aaron. So that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to explain to us in this chapter by pointing us to another priest, a priest that existed long before the priesthood of Aaron's family. And this priest is Melchizedek. And Melchizedek's priesthood wasn't dependent on proving whose family you came from. That's why there is no mention about his family or lineage, about his mum, his dad, his children. Melchizedek was chosen and appointed by God. And so he's better and greater and more superior than the priesthood of Aaron. So in the same way, Jesus' priesthood is like Melchizedek, where he is a priest, not because of some rule about his family, but because he was chosen and appointed by God. And just like Melchizedek, sounds like he has no beginning and no end, as if he always existed, Jesus is eternal, he's forever. And although Jesus isn't from Aaron's family, his priesthood is better and greater and more superior because it is powerful and it's eternal. Why? How's that? Let me go to this picture of sacrifices and offerings, okay? Aaron's priesthood could only offer a temporary fix, okay, to the broken relationship between sinful people and God. That's why they had to keep making sacrifices and offerings to God again and again and again and again. It was never enough and was never ending. The priesthood of Aaron was ultimately too weak and useless to truly be able to fix our relationship with God. Whereas Jesus could act as our high priest because of his perfect obedience to God, even to the point of death, by giving up his life for our lives. Jesus' sacrifice and offering was once and for all. He doesn't have to keep making a sacrificial offering again and again and again and again, like the priesthood of Aaron. His sacrifice and offering on the cross with his life was perfect and complete. It paid for all our sins, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins forever. And by his death, okay, he opened a way so we could come near to God, into God's presence, before his throne, to live life forever with him. Jesus is our perfect high priest forever, and there is no need for the priesthood anymore. Jesus is the ultimate and final go-between we need. He is our perfect high priest, better, greater, and more superior than the priesthood through Aaron's family set up by the law. In Jesus, we have a hope that is certain and built on a better, greater, and more superior promise. Lastly, I just want to mention, like, Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. And so is Jesus. Jesus is both priest and king. One of the things I love about studying Hebrews is how the author just keeps showing us another part of who Jesus is, and he keeps expanding our view and perspective of Jesus to help us see how much better and greater and more superior Jesus is to anything and everything. Jesus is the Messiah King in David's Psalm, the promised forever King, who was also going to be priest. And this priestly King will bring an end to sin and injustice and restore peace and righteousness forever and ever. Jesus is truly the King of peace and the King of righteousness, just like Melchizedek was known as the King of peace and King of righteousness. How amazing is Jesus? And why would you want to stop trusting him and stop loving him and give up on him? So, church, I hope you are encouraged by today that how Jesus is not just our high priest, our perfect high priest, but he is that Messiah King that was promised to us long ago through David's line. And he has come to bring an end to sin and injustice, but bring peace and righteousness for all.